Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. In the wake of the Ferguson Uprising last year, news reports began emerging of a little-known military program called 1033 that shares surplus military hardware to local police departments around the country. While the program sounds shocking, what is even worse is that police at public schools are also receiving weapons of war, such as M16s. Now, students at one school district are fighting back against the militarization and over-policing of their schools. This summer, dozens of students in Southern California confronted the Los Angeles Unified School District and demanded a list of military weapons in the district's possession. It was the latest in a series of events, hearings, and petitions. In May, President Obama signed an executive order limiting military transfers to local city and school police departments, but it's not yet clear if schools continue to retain past weapons obtained earlier under the program. In his latest article in the Huffington Post, my guest Eric Mann writes, quote, "We're calling on the Los Angeles Unified School Board and the LA Police and Sheriff's Departments to relinquish all their weapons from the 1033 program and burn them, don't return them, so they can't be used on others inside or outside the U.S. Eric Mann is the director of the Labor Community Strategy Center and its Fight for the Soul of the Cities campaign. He's the author of Playbook for Progressives, 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer, and Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. He's also the host of KPFK Pacifica's Voices from the Front Lines, longtime civil rights activist with a history in organizations such as the Congress of Racial Equality, Students for Democratic Society, and the United Auto Workers. Welcome to Uprising, Eric.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, let's talk about the program itself. Even though it was adjusted by President Obama in May, certainly since May, there may have been some limits placed on it. But before May, how was this program acting? How was it filtering excess weapons that, you know, we wonder why we were producing in the first place, not only to local police departments around the country, but shockingly to schools and to school districts for police to use?
Well, we'll get back to the fact that the president's order is very weak and unenforceable. But I think the core is that the United States is at war with the black community. And as the Defense Department told me when they just wrote to me, said they wanted to make a distinction that the weapons they gave, the mine-resistant, ambush-protected, is a defensive weapon, and that's what they gave. They didn't give a tank. That's the level of distinction they want to make. The fundamental question is, why would the Los Angeles Unified School District or any school district want surplus weapons unless? It's because the schools are no good, because the police are harassing people, because people don't have jobs, and they're anticipating another round of black rebellion. And this is truly a program to suppress all the young kids who are doing this great work now in the high schools about school-to-prison pipeline, about racist education. And it is, as he said, the guy from the Defense Department, well, these were originally used in Afghanistan and Iraq, and it is part of a counterinsurgency program.
Has there been, as far as you know, an actual deployment of such weapons in schools, in any public school system in the U.S. yet?
Don't know if they've been actually been deployed, but we do know that, for instance, the Los Angeles Unified Schools District presently has 61 M16s. M16s were declared by the Red Cross an inhumane weapon because that should be outlawed, because the attack on the body is not just fatal, but destroying virtually every organ. So the fundamental question is political, which is, why would Ramon Cortinas, the head of the school board in Los Angeles, why would Steve Zimmer, the chair of the board, still either defend or not get rid of 61 M16s? We know that the tanks have been used in Ferguson. We know that the Los Angeles Police Department has many more than 61 M16s.
1,600, I
understand. 1,600. Wow. It was in my article. Good. And, yeah, I should read my own stuff. And what are they going to do with 1,600 M16s? So the question is, as we said to the school board, you only got them to use them. They're not surplus for you. So the students have been rising up in the Los Angeles Unified School District. But I want to be clear that the first thing is, the president's order said, in the future, you should not, we will prohibit the use of 1033 weapons in school boards. We went back and checked. There's no order to return everything that they got.
Right. So let's talk about what the president said in May. Essentially, to great fanfare, the president announced that there would be limits placed on this program, the Pentagon surplus program. But of course, first of all, it doesn't end the program completely.
Right.
And second of all, it does not require the return of these weapons. And so schools that already received them, that already got them, such as LAUSD, as far as you know, get to keep them.
That's our understanding. I was just talking to the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund, with whom we're working on this national campaign. By the way, the main goal is to get President Obama to end the entire program, because we're saying no tanks in Detroit, no tanks in Philadelphia, no tanks in Houston. And the second thing is that his executive order said, before you get more weapons, you're going to have to have a two-page application instead of a one-page application, still allows them to sell these weapons to each other. So the LA, you get a surplus weapon, and then if LA wants to sell it to New York to suppress people, they're allowed to do it.
So keeping them in circulation.
Keep them in circulation. So let's be clear. I like reforms. I like real reforms. We read it with a fine-tooth comb. If it was great, that would be great. But even our own organization, somebody called me up, hey, President Obama ended the 1033 program. And then we went, not only didn't he end it, but he created such confusion that as an organizer, we have to tell people, no, it's doing very well, thank you very much. And we still can't get, like, Superintendent Cortina sent us a letter saying, we want you to know we have discontinued our participation in the program. Now, what kind of vague stuff is this after 15 letters back and forth? We said, are you in the program? Do you still have the weapons? And that's what we need the public to help us with.
So you, the students that you work with and that your organization works with, confronted the school board and asked for a list.
That's right.
Just a list of what weapons the school board, the school district owns, military weapons, which doesn't seem to be a terribly radical request. Just tell us what you have that could be deployed against our children.
That's right.
And they're not telling you.
Well, one thing that's interesting, because at the Strategy Center, we're doing what we call deep organizing. So you have to see that Ashley Franklin is leading Michael Davis, Laura Aguilar, along with Manuel Criollo, Barbara Lott Holland. These students are phenomenally well
trained.
These
are names of students, yeah.
Well, no, the first, Michael Davis and Laura Aguilar are students. Ashley Franklin is an organizer working at Manual Arts High School and at Augustus Hawkins High School. Michael Davis and Laura Aguilar are the two most prominent spokespeople of the students. But in listening to them, they're so well educated, as it were, about the entire program that they're saying, they have shirts saying, I am not bulletproof. And they know the program. And the school board went into closed session. They didn't even deal with them. But we're meeting with all the school board members. I think they're feeling the heat. And I think our goal is we need a victory.
Now, the issue of these weapons even being in existence in the United States, circulating between police departments and school districts, is also bizarre to begin with. These are military weapons. You don't just want them to be returned. You're calling on the weapons to be destroyed.
Well, it's even broader, you know, as they say, don't you have a broader agenda? Absolutely. Our goal is to disarm the police in the United States. That's our goal. I was just in a meeting, Sonali, where people from maybe more moderate civil rights organizations who had worked to try to get what they call memoranda of understandings with police departments in the schools are now saying, I hate to say it, but it's time to say we don't want the police in the schools. You can't, I mean, and they said, I tried, but I am understanding the structural problem is we can't have police in the schools. Secondly, we can't have regular weapons. They said, well, these...
Forget the military
stuff. Right,
forget
about the military
right.
stuff. The hardware, the police department, Los Angeles School Police Department, the LAPD, before the 1033 program, they are armed to the teeth. So we are saying get rid of 1033 because it will be symbolic and significant. But now we warned them, and then we want to discuss every weapon that you have and discuss why do we have armed police in the schools. So,
and this is not just an LA issue. This is around the country. There are, depending upon which city you live in, depending upon which neighborhood you live in, routinely there may be armed police patrolling the schools that your kids go to.
There are armed police. The only distinction is whether it's a school police, which is Los Angeles, to its great credit, that's a joke, has its own school police department, right, and a Los Angeles police department and an LA sheriff's. But if you're in Houston or if you're in Dallas or if you're in New York, if you're in Seattle, you'd have to check out, because if you don't have a school police department, that means your local police department is patrolling the schools. So there are police in every school in the United States.
And so there is obviously a broader issue. The issue that is plaguing our streets are also plaguing our schools, where we do have armed police. Just as the tanks rolled in on the streets of Ferguson, when people rose up, if there are times when schools have such flare-ups, or for whatever reason, there may be a reason that school districts might think we need to get people under control, it's possible we might see military-grade weapons being brought into schools as people on the streets of Ferguson saw them, because they haven't told you what they have necessarily, and they certainly haven't made a move to give them back.
Well, one thing I think is very important is that one reason this is going on is because there's just a complete absence of white support for black students and
black and brown students.
These students, we were in the Bus Riders Union, as you know, for 15 years fighting with the Los Angeles MTA as a national campaign. We've been asking people, please come down to the MTA, help us take on these elected officials like Mayor Garcetti. And as I say, in Los Angeles, if we say that for the white west side, they think Fairfax is the east side. They think south is the marina. No, south is South Los Angeles. East is East LA. In every city in the country, there's been a tremendous chasm between white progressives who are only interested in, if I may say, in Bernie Sanders' economic populism, but are not interested in the shooting of black and brown students. So we need people to call the Strategy Center, 213-387-2800, to write to me at eric@voicesfromthefrontlines. If you're in any city in the country, we want to talk to you, because this is a national campaign. If you're in LA, we want you to make calls. And I've been listening, Sonali, to a terrific civil rights tape with Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dee, and going back mainly into the 60s, I was struck by how in Mississippi and Alabama, they said, why are people calling us from all over the country? This is a local issue. Stay out. I'm not going to use my bad Southern imitation. But so is Mayor Garcetti saying that. So is the school board, Steve Zimmer, saying this is an LA issue. It is not an LA issue. We need people from all over the country to say we want the LAUSD to give up these weapons as a test case, and then go into their own school board and say whether it's the weapons are from our school police or the local police, do you have 1033 weapons that you're going to use against students?
How important is the fact that this is a student-led effort?
Well, the Strategy Center is a multi-generational organization. We organize in the high schools. We organize on the buses. We organize 80-year-old Korean grandmothers and 60-year-old black women on public assistance. We don't glorify youth as an absolute category, but all revolutions are strongly student-driven, and we've been working in the high schools with our community rights campaign because these young people are, we just had a Freedom Summer with 30 young black and Latino kids run by Ashley Franklin and Manuel Kiyoyo, where they did political education on colonialism, on organizing tactics, on how to build a group. What I'm getting to is I think a lot of the young people know how to protest, but we really want to help them learn how to organize. And right now, they have 18-year-old teachers.
Yeah. And that's part of the connection as well, right? When we have poor quality schools that are over-policed, those two things are linked.
Yeah, and I was listening to the Black Panther Party 10-point program, and they said, we want an education program that teaches people the true nature of the system. And that you're going to get from civil rights groups. That you're going to get from the Strategy Center. We want improvements. Certainly, we want literacy programs in the high school. But we also want black. There was just a big victory in NYUSD about ethnic studies. That was a great victory because we didn't just want better literacy. We wanted ethnic studies, and the Strategy Center worked with some terrific groups that were doing that. I think it's been proven that if you ask a black and Latino kid to read about ethnic studies, their literacy will be much more interesting than if you ask them to lead Western civilization. So the relationship between, it's been proven, the relationship with literacy and interest. People read when they want to read it. So yes, there's a crisis in the actual education system, ideologically as well as technically. There's a crisis of massive underfunding. There's a crisis of policing. There's a crisis that the kids are coming in hungry. There's a crisis that they're coming in from families that are, it's a miracle that these families are hanging together. These kids are wonderful. They're really amazingly courageous young people, and they're fighting the whole system. They're not just fighting to get the police out.
And in the organizing, there's, of course, much educational value. In the making of these links, there's amazing educational value in seeing, and I say education, not just book smarts, but learning how the world actually works. How has the school board responded or not? I mean, this the efforts that we've been talking about that were the most recent efforts by led by students and organizers was just part of a series of correspondence that you've had with the school board. Have they ignored you? Have they given some response?
Well, what's disappointing about this, and this is, you know, please hear the song Love Me, Love Me, Love Me, I'm a Liberal by Phil Oakes, that this is liberal Democrats. And liberal Democrats, in some ways, don't think that there's George McKenna, who's a member of the board, Steve Zimmer, Monica Garcia. These are good people in many ways. But they feel a certain righteousness about, well, I'm not a racist. You know, I couldn't. We said, we didn't say you're a racist. We said the policy is racist. And yes, good people can carry out racist policies. So we're closing in on them. You know, we sort of, organizing is like, they make a move, it's a chess game. They make a move, we make a move. We're winning the battle of ideas. They can't defend it, which is why they went into closed session.
Now, how do you defend
having it, right?
Military?
I need this tank. Looking at a student saying, you don't understand, you are the main danger. You are the person I'm afraid of. And I need weapons. I need an M16 because if I ever need to shoot you. And the students are saying, and then the next day we're supposed to talk about educational reform, or the next day you think I trust you. So I think we need more public attention. If we win this, and I think we will, that's how history is made. So now, you know, there's, we need victories, not protests. We need protests, but we need protests and organizing and victories. And we need to, power is the ability to get people to do something they don't want to do.
How would you encourage those in our listening and viewing areas outside of LA to find out what's in their schools and to organize in similar ways? Because this is the 1033 program, which is the Pentagon's military surplus program, is and was a national program.
Well, good news is that the Strategy Center is heading up a national campaign to ask President Obama to get rid of the 1033 program. Strategy Center is also going to work with groups all over the country. If you want to write to us, we'll give you all the websites. You can get this information. We're working with the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. We just was on a conference call with Dignity in Schools where they're saying each chapter is going to have to vote. But with tremendous enthusiasm, we're working with the Appleseed Project in Texas. So we're very close, meaning in a week, to putting out a national call. One, ask the president, and number two, look at every city in the United States, and we will help you inventory the 1033 weapons in your own city.
And so why is President Obama specifically the one who can end this? I mean, he certainly signed an executive order. Could he have, in that executive order, just simply ended the program and demanded everything be returned?
Well, among my, you know, why I drive people crazy because I'm a writer is I always have articles in my head. And one of them is called President Obama, the Elephant in the Civil Rights Bathtub. And one of the problems is that if this was George Bush, there would be much more outrage. Yeah. I'm happy that President Obama was elected. I mean that. I'm happy he's president of the United States rather than Mitt Romney. But his ability to co-opt, his ability to come up with these paper orders and so little outrage, he's called the commander-in-chief. Now, I wish he wasn't, but if he's willing to use drones to assassinate people, yes, he has the absolute legal authority to say the program is over. That's it. The same executive order that modified it can be changed to say, I've decided to end the program. Mm-hmm. So that's what's good about it. All the Democrats will say, well, his hands are tied. We have to win the Congress back. No, he has executive power to do so many things. Please see George Bush. George Bush didn't worry about things like that. So let's be clear. President Obama can, with a stroke of a pen, end the 1033 program. He's the primary, I would say, target of this campaign.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Eric, for joining us today. And that does it for our program. My guest is Eric Mann. He is the director of the Labor Community Strategy Center, and it's Fight for the Soul of the Cities campaign. He's the author of Playbook for Progressive 16 Qualities of the Successful Organizer and Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, and the host of KPFK's Pacifica's Voices from the Front Lines.